Welcome down to my 9-foot homemade oak bar. Pour yourself a cold one. You are listening to Bucks in the Basement. My name's Chris, and Craig here is the biggest Pirates fan you'll ever meet. Let's talk Pirates baseball now. Welcome to Bucks in the Basement.
Now I see the changes in this town. They change, they say one thing, but then the next day.
In the basement, very exciting time to be a Bucks fan when there's nothing going on. If you're a Bucks fan, we're going to try to give you, though, some great Bucks content. The Pirates, sitting in the middle of an offseason, have so much to do. Craig Toth joins me down here, belly on up to the 9-foot homemade oak bar. Pour yourself a cold one and join us for the next 30 minutes. My friend, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good. You know, I'm not as disappointed as most Pirates fans that keep Ryan Hayes came in sixth in the NL Rookie of the Year. I understand. They say he has like the highest WAR and all that kind of stuff, but we talked about this before, man. Did he have a great stretch? Yes. Was the season weird? Yes. But, dude, you can't tell me like 85 at-bats is enough I wouldn't even want it for him.
I don't think it's enough. I do find it weird that the American League Rookie of the Year hit 150 with a 545 OPS and was a unanimous selection. That was Kyle Lewis. I do think it's a strange year where there's a weird votes going on. I don't think that these individual awards matter as much as they would in a 162 game season, because you've seen so many rookies come out and have a good couple of months and never even be considered for the Rookie of Year. We see so many guys that have great first halves. We talk about James McCann, right? Recently as a possibility that some people think the Pirates should go out and get him as a catcher. He had one really great first half of a season in 2019 and fell off the charts in the back half of the season, wasn't doing anything. And in limited action in 2020, now everybody's calling him the second best catcher that's out there. He may be worth it. He may be fool's gold. With small sample sizes, it's hard to say such and such, you know, this guy deserved this award over another one. It's really hard to do.
I can understand. I mean, if people want to be mad about it, just hope and pray that he comes out even close to as hot as he did at the end of this past year, next year.
Right.
And we're going to see him for a full season. I mean, I think that's pretty much a guarantee at this point. I don't think they're going to mess around with any service time. I mean, they actually still could, because he didn't, since he came, the time he came up, they could technically let him sit down there again.
I think they're gonna.
Oh, wow.
I really do. I really think that they'll do it. Any rebuilding team messes with service time. Think about the Padres right now. And before anybody goes, it's ridiculous, how can you do that to this guy? Let me tell you something right now. The Padres did not mess with Fernando Tatis's service time. They could have just held him off for a couple of weeks and they'd have a whole other year of control. You don't think their fan base is going to be mad that they didn't do that in a couple of years, when they could have had one more? I mean, this team still hasn't made it to a World Series. You don't get there right away when the rebuild ends like it did with the Padres. You want that window to be open for as long as humanly possible. And trust me, Padre fans will be screaming when his service time is up a year early because they didn't hold him down for a month. And so I think that rebuilding teams, and that's what the Pirates are, no matter what they tell you, they're going to mess with service time if they're allowed to do it, because why wouldn't you? This is the rules of the game. You saw the Tampa Bay Rays go to the World Series. They play nothing but by the rules of the game. They told Blake Snell, by the way, you had a great year a couple years ago, but the rules say we could take 10% off of your rookie contract for the next year, and that's what we're giving you. He actually had a reduction in his salary because the rules allow for it. People sit there and they go, oh, isn't it amazing what the Rays can do with a low payroll? There's a reason why they're able to do it. And with spend nutting, win nutting, if you run a certain way, you might have to be that cheap team that messes with service time and takes 10% off of the rookie deals every year. That might be the only way you ever get it done.
Yeah, and I tell you the truth, I mean, people are going to be hollering in the streets, but I'm hoping you're not right, Chris, but I'm thinking at this point in time, you might be. I know last year they were looking to try to shore him up beforehand, but they kind of just saw him hit, you know, the cover off the ball, pretty much made like one rookie mistake in the field, but other than that was looked absolutely magnificent, which we knew he probably was going to do defensively. So it was probably better if they got him under that contract before than if they get him under it now, because I mean, he's got a little bit more wiggle room and he's just going to say, you know what? No, I think I'll play this out. I think I'll see how this goes.
Last year, before the season was going to start, before COVID hit in March, the Seattle Mariners and the Chicago White Sox both signed guys that had minor league deals to long-term deals before they ever took a swing in the major leagues. Now, the Mariners, it was their first baseman.
Evan White.
He is in Double A and never played in Triple A, and they signed him to this deal. The White Sox did it with Luis Robert. Robert came in second in the rookie of the year voting and looks like a stud, and it looks like a great deal to lock him in. I think it was for like 8 years. Evan White had a terrible, terrible start. So here's the thing. Teams roll the dice when they sign somebody to that team-friendly contract before you find out if they can hit major league pitching, because you'll hear it from players all around baseball, whether they play now or played 40 years ago. There's a big difference. That jump from AAA to the majors is a bigger jump than any level. And teams take a risk when they sign a guy to a bunch of money who might not pan out. And I don't know if Evan White's going to pan out or not, but he doesn't look like he's worth the money right now. On the other hand, players take a risk by turning it down, because if they don't turn out to have a great, you know, first couple of years, they actually end up losing money because they won't do well in those initial arbitrations. So it's not one team taking advantage of players or players taking advantage of the other team. It's the rules of the game, and both sides know the rules going in. They both know the risk and reward and what they have to do. If you're a team like the Pirates, you're not winning the World Series in 2021. So why would you give up a year of service time to Cabrian Hayes? And if Cabrian Hayes wants to come up, I'm sure they're going to offer him a deal that's long-term. It's going to eat up everything through his arbitration years, probably plus 1 year. And he has to sit down and say, okay, what do I have to do to earn more than that? And do I want to bet on myself? And then he makes the choice on it. But I'm telling you right now, if he doesn't sign a long-term deal, he will not be standing at third base opening day if they can extend his service time. It would be maddening. It would make no sense. And I don't understand why fans get upset about how many millions of dollars a baseball player is going to make. Unless your last name is Hayes and Cabrian's your cousin and he's giving you a little bit of money, you don't have any interest in this. Your interest should be in the name on the front of the uniform instead of the back of the uniform, because you want him in your organization as long as possible. He knows the rules. It's not like he's not going to play if you hold him out for a month. He might be annoyed. He might kick a few rocks. But trust me, years later, he'll understand.
I definitely don't disagree with any of that, Chris. And that kind of takes us into what we were talking about before this is, you know, the whole arbitration thing and players are becoming arbitration eligible. And before that even happens, we're talking about the Rule 5 draft. I know the Rule 5 draft happens after the arbitration happens. Rule 5 draft usually happens during the winter meetings, which is like around like, I know they're going to be virtual, but I think they're still going to do it this way. It's going to be around like December 12th.
It's the last day of the winter meetings.
Yeah.
I think they're doing the winter meetings virtually. So there'll be a virtual Rule 5 draft.
And they can do it simply. They can
meetings.
Do it easily.
Right. Yeah.
And so, but
about a week or so before Christmas, we're going to find out how the Rule 5 draft goes.
Yeah. But then you're going to have to figure out if there's guys that you want to protect. Right now, the Pirates are up against it. Their 40 man is at 40. So right now, they do not have the ability to protect anyone.
They can't add anybody and they can't protect anybody. And for anybody that doesn't understand a Rule 5 draft, because I always sit there and think to myself, what if there's somebody who just doesn't understand this as much as I do? In layman's terms, this is how this goes. Once you reach a certain age or a certain amount of years inside of an organization in their system, if they don't put you on their 40-man roster, you have the ability to be picked up by other teams. It's a chance for a player that is good enough to be grabbed up by another organization so he gets around a roadblock within his own organization. It allows teams to find talent, and it allows the talent to be grabbed by somebody else so that one team cannot just stockpile talent and the player doesn't spend his entire career as the third best first baseman in an organization because he can't get out of that organization. And if you're good enough, you do well enough that another team will take you. And if they don't, your team has to spend a spot on the 40-man roster. And once you're on that 40-man roster, now when they don't want you there anymore, you get released and you can go someplace else. So it kind of breaks up the how stagnant it can be in the minor leagues. It breaks up the logjam a little bit when you're in there. If you add a guy from the Rule 5 draft, he has to be on your major league roster for the entirety of the season for you to be able to keep him. Which means if you pick a guy up, he's starting opening day on your team. And if he's not starting opening day on your team, he gets returned back to the other team. They could take him back. So the thing is, you're only going after guys that you're like, well, maybe this guy could make a team. That's why you see a lot of like relief pitchers. But teams that are building, this is when you take a chance. This is when you pick up a guy that you're like, yeah, that guy only made it through double A, but he's got some promise. And we can use him because we're not intending to win very much this year in 2021. You want to be able to go snag a guy in the Rule 5 draft, maybe two or three. Building teams go and get guys in the Rule 5 draft that they wouldn't have access to because they have room on their 26-man roster to use that guy. And it doesn't really bother you because you're not going for a World Series. Like the Pirates are not, even though there are delusional fans who think they are not a World Series contender. So Ben Cherington is going to want to free up some space, and he's going to also have to free up space not only to take on a couple of guys, but he's got to free up space to protect anybody in his minor league system that could be poached by somebody else. So there's going to be this bloodletting of your 40-man roster where some of these guys are just not going to get arbitration or are going to get released because you have to make room to be able to make pickups in the 40-man, in the Rule 5 draft, and to be able to protect guys you don't want stolen from you. So it's time for Ben Cherington at this point to figure out who belongs on here and who is a waste of space or I'm ready to move on from because I don't want to lose this other kid. Does that mean, I think I explained that right, Craig, oh, that, right?
You explained it perfectly. I mean, there's a minor league portion of it, but that gets too in-depth. I mean, pretty much at this point in time, you're looking at the guys like last year, just for example, Ben Cherington first like moves while he's on the job. He's, you know, he let go of Elias Diaz, and then he adds Ke'Bryan Hayes, Will Craig, O'Neill Cruz, Blake Cederlund, and Cody Ponce to the 40-man roster in order to protect them from the Rule 5 draft. And you see that each one of those guys played at least some portion, even in this weird season. They were going to start to get a chance other than O'Neill Cruz. But O'Neill Cruz was one of your like top three prospects. So even if you weren't planning on playing him this year, he's a guy you're obviously going to protect. So that's where it kind of comes down to it is this guy a part of the future? Is he somebody that we see, you know, playing in the major leagues within the next like 1, 2, 3 years that we feel is a part of the future and we feel that we need to protect? And you have to make room for him because, like I said, you're at 40 right now. If you want to take anybody in the Rule 5 draft, and if you want to protect anybody, you have to make some pretty tough decisions.
You can find things sometimes that is gold because a team doesn't have enough space to protect a guy. Just last year, in the 2019 Rule 5 draft that happened in December of last year, there were only 10 players taken in the first round. The Orioles, who are a building team, like I said, actually took two players. They were the only one to take anybody in the second round of the Rule 5 draft. Now, to give you an idea of the talent that's out there, the third overall pick in the Rule 5 draft last year was right-handed pitcher Sterling Sharp. He was the Nationals' 13th best prospect. Trust me, the Nationals did not want to lose a guy that was that high up their list. Okay, Jonathan Araz, the Astros' 25th overall prospect, went to the Red Sox. Some names get moved because there's not enough room to protect them. You don't want to lose anybody that you believe in. So let's talk about who the Pirates might believe in enough that they have to add in your mind, Craig, because you're the guy that covers the minor leagues better than anybody I know when it comes to the Pittsburgh Pirates. In your mind, who are the guys that are not on the 40-man that are eligible for the Rule 5 draft that you're like, we must put them on that 40-man. We have to protect that guy.
I mean, I pretty much have three right out of the gate, and I think that they... They must have shown Ben Cherington something, because at least one of them, Rodolfo Castro, he's currently our number 26 prospect on the MLB pipeline. He's number 12 on Fangraphs. He was added to our player pool or taxi squad or whatever you want to call down in Altoona, and it was actually a little bit of a surprise to me because, I mean, he hadn't played above. He made it up to Bradenton last year, so it was like a low-A guy. And the other one that was a little bit of a surprise to me, another one was Max Kranick. He's another guy. He's like number 24 on the MLB pipeline, but he also hadn't, you know, made it above. He was also in Bradenton last year. So those are like a Rodolfo Castro is a he's technically a second baseman. He can play second, short, and third base, but he plays best at second base. Max Kranick, he is he's a right-handed starting pitcher.
Okay, so these two guys you want to add on there. So who's the third one that jumped right out to you?
The other one that jumped out at me is Braden Ogle. He is he's a left-handed relief pitcher, and he's actually looked really, really good. He between high and low A last year, he went from low A where he had like a whip of like 0.2, and then when he went up, it actually went down. He went down to like 0.971, and his ERA went down as well. And Chris, I know how much you love the whip.
I love the whip.
If you see a guy come up from, you know, the low A to the high A, I know people will say, and I do know this, that the Florida State League is a little bit of a pitcher's league. And I don't know if it's because of the umpire or what it would be, but it kind of seems like guys kind of cool down or heat up when they get there. But I mean, the way he pitched, I would definitely hold on to those three guys. If we lost any of those guys, I'd actually be pretty disappointed.
All right, so you need to open up three spots. Now, there is a possibility that Ben Cherington goes, these aren't my guys, and I'm not that attached to them. So he sits down with his scouts, and he goes, what are your evaluations of these guys? And he takes his own evaluations and looks at guys and kind of looks at the numbers. And you know, the fact that he added somebody on to his taxi squad or onto the, you know, where he wanted to get a look at him, that indicates to me he wanted to get a look at somebody. That's the only explanation to me. He's like, I got to get a look at this person because he already knows that he's going to have to make a decision. Now, let's say that he sees those three and he goes, yeah, for sure. I don't know if he's going to clear a lot more space off his 40 man. But if there's another tier afterwards, do you have one or two other names that might? I'm going to assume the three you came up with, definitely. Is there anybody else you sit there and say, maybe Cherington says, I have to protect this person, or is that it?
I think that there's two. One wasn't protected last year. It's his second year coming up for this. He's a center field prospect, Lolo Sanchez. Plays really good defense, has struggled with the bat a little bit. He made it through last year, and I mean, he could obviously make it through again. It's not like any of the once these guys become.
I think eligible. If a guy doesn't get here's the thing: if a guy doesn't get protected to 1 year, and you didn't even get a minor league season to see if he could improve, you kind of believe that he's not going to get picked up by anybody next year.
Yeah.
So if I were a general manager, just on that theory, I wouldn't protect Lolo Sanchez.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, who's the other name?
Just one more. I have two more. I have Santiago Flores. Another pitcher, but once again, he's a decent prospect, but I think there's a lot of guys that are probably around the same level as him, and then there's Travis McGregor, but they didn't have a minor league season, and he's just coming back from injury, so I think people would probably stay away from him as well.
You also have to remember that if a team goes and gets this person, then they have to give him an opportunity to play.
Yeah.
So, I mean, coming off of a year without a lot of minor league play, I don't know if you need to protect a lot of guys.
Yeah,
unless they proved it last year. They proved it in 2019. So I would think, let's just be conservative here. The three guys that jumped right out to you, let's say he's got to protect them.
Yeah.
So he's got to protect three. Let's say, for argument's sake, he needs a fourth spot so he can pick up a player, and he wants a fifth spot so he's got room in case he's able to make a trade, or if all of a sudden somebody jumps up on waivers, somebody tries to pass somebody through waivers, Let's say he wants to get the 40 man down to 35.
Yeah.
We should go through the list now of the guys that are up for arbitration and try to come up with the most likely guys that don't get offered arbitration and get released because they're going to be like, we need to make some room here. Okay.
Okay.
So let's just take a look. Everybody that's up for arbitration right now, give me a yes arbitration, a no arbitration, or a maybe. And we'll see if we got to come back to the maybes or if we get enough no's. All right.
Okay.
All right. Michael Feliz.
No.
$1.1 million he would be worth.
No.
No. Okay. Jameson Taillon, $2.3 million.
Yes.
Of course. All right. Chad Kuhl. Second year of arbitration, $2.2 million. That's what he's expected to make in arbitration if you offer it to him.
Yes.
Adam Frazier, second year of arbitration, $5.2 million. $5.2 million for Adam Frazier. That's a big price tag. It's a lot of money.
I'm going to have to say yes because he's one of the guys that but then you're going to have to think that you're going to have to be able to move him. So you got to have Ben Charrington insight as to whether or not he's had anybody calling for him yet. If somebody called for him, say yes. If nobody called for him, you might say no.
All right, so let's have him as a maybe right now. Joe Musgrove, who surprisingly is worth less than Adam Frazier, he's projected only make $4.4 million in arbitration.
Yes.
Josh Bell, second year of arbitration, projected to make $7.2
million. Yes.
Yes, okay. Trevor Williams.
No.
Arbitration second year, $4.6 million. You're dropping him.
No, there's no way.
Williams is gone. Eric Gonzalez, arbitration second year, $1.9 million projection.
Yes.
Okay, Colin Moran, first year of arbitration, $3.3 million.
Yes.
Kyle Crick, first year of arbitration, $900,000.
No.
Chris Stratton, first year of arbitration, $1.12 million he's projected to get.
Yes.
Steven Brault, first year of arbitration, $2.5 million.
Yes.
Jose Ozuna, first year of arbitration, $1.3 million.
No.
Richard Rodriguez, first year of arbitration, $1.7 million.
Yes.
All right, so as I'm looking at this right here, you cleared out, as I just kind of like eyeball this, you got rid of Feliz.
Yes.
For only $1.1 million. You got rid of Trevor Williams. Did you jettison Kyle Crick?
Yes.
And you jettisoned Jose Ozuna.
Yes.
All right. So you open up four spots. You need to find a fifth. You're keeping Taillon. Frazier, you were a maybe on, right? Do you think Adam Frazier is a long-term member of the team and worth $5.2 million when you're going to still hold on to guys like Eric Gonzalez who can play the infield at $1.9 million?
I mean, the smart money.
It's a weird question. I get why it's a weird question. But the thing that I keep thinking is, do you think you're going to win the next couple of years? And your control of Frazier is just 2021 and 2022. And he's already at $5.2 million. To give you a good example of this, last year, there was a Gold Glove second baseman who was let go in the arbitration. And he was right at around $5.2 million. And his team let him go because he couldn't perform offensively. That was Yomer Sanchez. So it's not unheard of that a guy, it's not like Frazier's tearing the cover off the ball. It's not unheard of. Now, we found the four spots we know we need. So I'm not saying you got to get rid of them. You found the four spots.
Yeah.
You did it the first time through. And it doesn't need to be Frazier. But who of those guys is the next guy off if you were like, the Pirates, right? You're Ben Charrington. Put your Ben Charrington hat on. Of all those guys, who's the next guy that you're like, if I need more space because something comes available to me, if somebody waves a player that I really want, who's the next guy off of that list?
God, it's probably between just by my immediate reaction, and I didn't know that was going to be my immediate reaction. I'd probably have to go that it's between Frazier and Chris Stratton for me.
Okay, and Stratton is a 30-year-old player. I mean, he is an older player, and it's just getting to his first year of arbitration. So it isn't the worst thing in the world. And let's be honest, Stratton is a relief pitcher, who's 30 years old, you're going to pay $1.2 million to, and you're going to be able to find plenty of pitchers. It really comes down to what you think is a valuable piece that you're going to be able to move. Because you don't build your bullpen until the end when you're building a team. So the Pirates have to, they have to start looking at it as, if we need to make room, these guys are expendable, because you find your bullpen towards the end of your rebuild. You don't get it at the beginning of your rebuild. Relief pitchers are a dime a dozen. So I guess I would lean more towards Stratton. If it, like saying that, I'm like, Stratton's the guy.
Yeah, because I mean, when we had like the talks about like the pre-deadline and stuff, I know that Stratton was a name that at least somebody, I don't know if it was me, you, Gary, or Anthony DeFilippo, we had a that live podcast like right before the trade deadline. Somebody said Stratton. I'm thinking it might have been Gary, but that's not a name that we heard a lot anywhere else for people that were looking for relief pitching. So if somebody like was looking for a relief pitcher, you would think that would have been the time he would have been moved, and he wasn't. So I don't know. To me, I still see the trade value in Adam Frazier, but once you said $5.2 million, I don't know. Like last year it was like $3 million or something. This year $5.2 million. I'm like, that's getting a little bit of steep. That's getting a little steep for Adam Frazier.
So you get rid of Crick, Ozuna, you get rid of Feliz, and you jettison Trevor Williams, your boy. Those are the four guys you're not offering arbitration to because you want to open up four spots to put three guys on the 40-man that you want to protect from the Rule 5 draft and give yourself one extra space in case there's somebody out there in the Rule 5 that you want to pick up.
Absolutely.
That's where you're at right now.
Yeah.
We played GM. We played GM this week. I can't argue with what you came up with. You know, I can't argue with it when you have to compare it to the other names that are out there. And I'm sitting here trying to argue it while you're talking. Like, I'm looking up Michael Feliz. I'm like, I don't know. I mean, it might be. Nope. Can't argue with it. I can't argue that you should give him that money. You're going to give him $1.1 million for a whip that was a 1.4 in 2019 and was astronomical in the shortened season. I can't argue with you on that. You know, you got to cut some fat off of this team at some point. We said, in fact, Ben Cherington could just offer none of them arbitration and start over.
Yeah.
Like the movie Major League. And somebody would be like, hey, Ben, this guy's dead. Cross him off that. Like, it'd be just like that. We don't know what he's going to do.
That's so funny, Chris. That's what it means. But like right now, Ben's not married to any of these guys. And how many of these guys can you actually just keep around? I mean, you can't keep them all.
No, you can't.
No, because if you keep
some of these guys, got to go. If you get attached to players, you get attached to players, you get attached to the potential. And until Pirates fans can wrap their heads around the idea that it didn't work and that the regime beforehand was fired because it didn't work, and yeah, COVID kind of shortened your season and took away the ability of Ben Cherington to do very much in his first year, but now he's going to get to work finally. Like, that you have to wrap your brain around the idea that it is, this is like Ari Gold walking into the office with the paintball gun and Entourage and just shooting everybody and yelling, you're fired. Like, that's what this is at this point for Ben Cherington and a lot of these players.
Yeah, because the funny thing is, Chris, I mean, this would be my last thought, is just that people said how much they hated Neil Huntington. And by the end, I don't know anybody that was defending Neil Huntington. But the people that are out there saying, you know, keep Trevor Williams, you know, he's a good guy, he might work out, or, you know, all we need to do is bring in a pitcher and a catcher and we'll be good, or make a trade and get some MLB-ready players, that's the false bill of goods that Neil Huntington sold us for the last 4 years he was here, but yet you're regurgitating it like we didn't learn anything.
I don't get that one. I don't get that. Make a trade for major league ready players. If there's a team that has major league ready talent, they're not giving them to you. They're using them themselves. It's crazy. It's like we should trade some of our garbage and have somebody give us something good. Like maybe that works in your video game. You know, when you're sitting in the basement and you're running your own season on MLB The Show and you put everything on easy settings, and you set it up so that every trade goes through that you propose, yeah, sure. I'm sure you could build a winner in 15 minutes. That's not how it really works. Okay, you're not going to, what are you going to do? You're going to start taking out Major League Baseball GMs and getting them drunk and taking pictures of them that they can't explain to people to get trades go through? I don't understand how that works. We're going to trade a bunch of garbage and get really good players.
Yeah, because the one thing, Chris, before we go, I did have one Twitter interaction. And just even if it doesn't make the show, it'll make you laugh, dude. A guy right before the show who writes and has his own blog and he blogs about all the sports or whatever, he said, I'd like to see them trade Musgrove and Rodriguez and in one of those trades get a major league ready center fielder. And I was like, so you're basically asking them to trade them to get Jared Oliva, either Jason Martin or Anthony Alford, who we already have. And he goes, no, get somebody better. And I'm like,
who?
Who?
Well, what are you getting, Mike Trout? Maybe the Mariners will give you Kyle Lewis after he won his Rookie of the Year, or the White Sox will give you Luis Robert. Like, who? Who do you think wants Joe Musgrove so bad that they're giving up that kind of talent?
Yeah.
Like, major league ready and then being good at it and then being a budding superstar, those are all different levels. And that deal doesn't bring back budding superstars. It brings back major league ready. You have that now. Okay? This team could not be fixed with a couple of trades.
No.
It can't be. You have to build internally and develop talent. Cabrian Hayes, that's who you're watching in 2021. You're watching the return of Jameson Taillon. You're watching the development of Mitch Keller. You're watching Brian Reynolds, and hopefully everything gets back on track with him. You're curious as to whether or not Colin Moran really turned a corner. These are the things you're watching. You're waiting to see whether or not one of the major league center fielders you just mentioned turn into something for you. You're waiting to see if any of the young talent develops. But you're not, like, what do you expect to have happen for a team that had one of the worst batting averages, like team batting averages in baseball, if not the worst, and has the number one overall draft pick? They're going from the worst team in the majors to a World Series contender with a couple of trades. Come on! Really? Come on! Stop drinking the water outside of the stadium. It's river water. It's disgusting. All right? And people in Youngstown are dropping their waste into it. And you're drinking it, and you're making yourself crazy. Knock it off.
Now I see the changes in this town. They change, they say one thing, but then the next day.